friend that you wish was just right there. I didn't grow up with brothers. I had one sister. Now I have two adopted sisters as well, but I didn't have any brothers. But God along the way has blessed me with two guys in my life that I count as brothers, extended family. Our kids even call them aunt and uncle. And this morning, Chris Marsden is one of those guys. We met in Bible college. We got married in the same period of time, about a year apart. We had our kids together. We've raised our kids. They've known each other as cousins. But beyond that, like, I've got to minister alongside of Chris. Never in capacity where we're both on staff at the same church, but in different ways, in different areas. This morning, Chris is going to bring a message. He has just a breadth of experience. He's worked in and out of the business world and the church world, and he's one of the most thoughtful, and not like caring thoughtful, but like his mind is always thinking, guys. And he just thinks so much, and he can go from this conversation to that conversation, not blink. And then you wonder, like, where did he go? Like, I'm like, I'm over here, Chris, and he's like way gone past you. But he is, and he's gonna bring a great message this morning. So please welcome Chris Marsden this morning. We're glad that he's here with us this morning.
Ago, I'm going to write a book called A Little of Everything and a Lot of Nothing, because that's kind of what I know, is a little of everything and a lot of nothing. I currently work for a church in the Orlando area. I am the arts and tech director, and so basically what my job is on a Sunday morning is I hang out in the booth, and I make sure everything works, and like the guys on stage work for me, and the guys in the booth work for me, and the only thing that's not my job is my pastor's message. Like, everything else is what I work on. Like, that's my job. And I am literally on the verge of changing that up, and I'll be the discipleship director for our church and the tech director. So my job during the week will be hang out with people, lead Bible studies, you know, disciple people one-on-one, help them move in a relationship with Jesus. And on Sunday morning, my job will be plug cables in and make sure the projector lights up. And so, like, I mean, Ben's kind of not joking. Like, I am all over the place. In the course of my life, I started out working in fast food. I got a job at Checkers. Maybe some of you have done similar. You got that, like, horrible job that you just have to flip patties and, you know, get fry grease on you, and you go home smelling like French fries. And I went from that to managing a fast food restaurant. And then I worked as a groundskeeper, and I drove a lawnmower around, and then the indoor maintenance guy for the college had some heart surgery, and they said, "Hey, Chris, instead of driving around in the yard, how about if you come in and like clean toilets and vacuum floors?" So I migrated inside, and then I got a job in youth ministry part-time while I was in college, and I drove to Daytona every weekend. And I hung out with a bunch of kids and tried to point them to Jesus through games and activities and all the things that kind of people expected youth ministers to do. And in the process, I realized, you know, wait a second. When I was in high school, I was this incredible techie guy. Like, I worked in a TV studio. I ran camera. I edited videos. I created all this stuff. And here I am working in this small church, and I'm not doing any of these things that God has gifted me to do. So I quit my job in youth ministry, and honestly, I don't even remember what I did at that point. Like, it's been so long. But you know, I you know, had a couple jobs. I worked in the library for a while. I just all this stuff. And then I was getting ready to graduate college. I actually changed my major. It was a dual enrollment program with Valencia and Florida Christian College at the time. Now it's Johnson University. And so I'm going to Valencia, and I'm learning web design and graphic design and a little bit of IT, and like, I'm sure that's what God's going to use with all these talents that he's given me. And then I took a job in youth ministry and went back to that. In church, I've had the title of youth minister. I've had the title of associate minister. I've had the title of portability director, which basically means get up at 3 a.m, drive trailers around, push the cases into the rented building that your church is having church in, set up all this gear to make what you guys do on Sunday morning happen, go through a couple services, push all that junk back into a trailer, drive him back to the storage lot, and go home at like 4:30. So, you know, good 12-hour day, running around, moving around. And that was the first, like, staff position I had at the church that I'm at now. Coincidentally, the other staff position I had while I was there was communications director. And so all that graphic design that, like, I thought maybe someday God would use, like, that's what I did. I designed the programs, I designed ads, I designed billboards. Like, I did all the crazy things that a communication director does during the week. And then on Sunday mornings, I got up at 3 in the morning and showed up and drove trailers and pushed things. And so now my job's evolved, and I'm this tech director slash about-to-be discipleship director. And as I talk with my senior pastor and, like, what does this look like and what's next, like, even this is just a step on this path that we don't know where God is taking us. We don't know what's going to happen, but this is where I find myself. And so I'm 38 years old. I've got a bachelor's degree. I'm looking at a master's degree in the next couple years, and I honestly wonder to myself regularly, what am I going to be when I grow up? Because who knows? Like, I've done all these different things, and God has worked through all these different things, and he's dropped me in these places, and in every opportunity, I'm doing something a little bit different. But then those skills that I thought, okay, well, you know, I guess I'm done with that. God's moved me to this next place, and all of a sudden, I find myself in a situation where, like, oh, that thing that I did 5 years ago or 10 years ago, like, that's perfect for what I need to know now. So this morning, you guys are in the middle of a series about Jesus in the center of work, Jesus in the center of life. And Ben told me last night, oh, by the way, you're preaching from the side of the stage because Jesus is in the middle. And I thought, like, it was something figurative at first and, like, okay, you know, haha, that's funny. And then he's like, no, really, like, Jesus is in the middle of the stage. And so you got to preach from the side, and it's, you know, hopefully it doesn't throw you and it's not weird. So it is a little weird. It's doubly weird because my normal position is in the booth watching some other guy do this, and they're actually getting ready to do that right now. The downbeat of our service just happened, so I got people that are my teammates and friends and coworkers who are on my heart that what they're doing right now is impactful. And but we're going to dive in. So I've done all these crazy things, and in the middle of all the crazy, I met our other friend, John, a.k.a. Fat Rock Lancaster. That's P-H-A-T-R-O-K. It was the 90s, and people were crazy, and somehow he got this nickname, and it stuck. And he literally is a 48-year-old, I don't know, Ben, I've lost track, senior pastor of a church in Alabama. And his email address is fatrock@huntsvillechristianchurch.com. Like, dude, you're 48. You might want to grow up just a little at some point. But he's Fat Rock. And in the middle of college, we started this thing called Fat Rock's Bean Crib. And what we did was we traveled around, started out of the dorm room window, it migrated to the sub. And in the process, we had people show up and go, hey, I'd love for you to take that to our church. And so we were serving coffee, decaf mostly when kids were involved, but we were serving coffee, and we were playing stupid games, and we were traveling from church to church, and these churches were inviting the local youth, and they were inviting kids from the high school and whatever to come and experience this crazy thing called Fat Rock's Bean Crib, and maybe in the process hear a little bit about Jesus. We did one out in Claremont, and this church had a strip of concrete about 6 feet wide and a skate ramp, and they had 150 kids who on this 6-foot-wide piece of concrete would skate up and down, jump this little tiny skate ramp, and, you know, cheer for each other, and then come inside and have a cup of coffee and hear a story about what Jesus was doing. And in the midst of that, like, you know, because we were good Bible college students, and so, you know, organization like this, Fat Rocks Bean Crib, needs a verse to kind of, like, hold it all together. And so we were going through it. We were, you know, praying through it, like, what should it be? And we landed on Colossians 3:17, which is, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And I realized that I put the wrong version when I sent Ben my notes, but that other version I've known since 1998, and I say it to myself over and over again, because whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And that has become the thing that for me, in all this crazy, and I just kind of hit the highlights, like, you know, I do those like LinkedIn things, and you like fill out your resume, like, holy cow, like, you don't have enough space, like, you know, I've managed a music store, I've worked, you know, retail, I've done all these different things, but in all those different things, what I've done continuously is gone, God, what are you doing in this? Why am I here, and how can I take the things you've given me and turn them around into something great for your kingdom? So today we're going to look at a passage of scripture. It's probably familiar to a lot of you. It's Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30. And most of you, if you're like me, learn this as the parable of the talents. As I flip through half dozen different scripture versions going, what the heck? None of them say talents anymore. They all say bags of gold or bags of silver, which technically and authentically is accurate, because a talent was a measure of money. So we're going to read from the NLT this morning, but if you substitute talent as you go along, I don't blame you, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So let's read through this. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He had 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it up in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had trusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The servant who had received 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. But the master replied, You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That bag of silver, or in other versions, bag of gold, or like I learned it, talent, like I want us to look at that this morning as the word investment. This master, and you know, if you know scripture, what Jesus is really talking about here is God your Father has invested in you this thing. And for like growing up using that word talent, for me, that's what I think about when I read this passage first and foremost. And by and large, that's what I've been forced to think about because nobody's given me bags of money. You know, I didn't grow up with a lot of money, and then I was a college student and I had less, and now I've got three girls and they spend it all, and I'm pretty good about not letting them spend it all, but you really can't avoid it. Like, they have to eat and they have to, you know, wear clothes, and like the one's got holes in her shoes again, which is kind of killing me because I feel like I just bought them shoes, and maybe you can relate. Like, it's this never-ending cycle. She's 11, she's crazy. And, you know, she just grows out of shoes, right? So for me, it's never been money. It's been talent. It's been gifts. It's like, what are these things that God has put inside me? But the more I think about this, I think it's both. And for me, God's not invested money. He's invested talent and gifts. For some of us, it's literally money. And in my history, as I reflect back on my life, it's also jobs and relationships. It's literally that job that I had. I was working at a church in Winter Garden. I was the associate minister. We were a small church. I was the youth minister, and there might have been six kids attending the church, and like three of them were mine, so it was a little weird. But like that was my job, and We went from being an established in-a-building church to being portable. And so again, hey, look, this other talent I have, I went out and I found a sound system, and we turned our church from being in a building to being in a small trailer. And in that process, I met Greg Haltman at Garden Music Center in Winter Garden, Florida. And he said, oh, you should come work for me. And I said, no, I have a job. But I started hanging out with him and having coffee. And one thing leads to another, one thing leads to another. And 6 months later, I find myself working in a music store in Winter Garden. I didn't move, I didn't change anything, but my full-time job is working in a music store, and I have 300 families who are coming through my doors taking music lessons. And while the kid went in to take the music lesson, I'd stand at the counter and I'd talk to mom and dad about life and about how God fit into it. And all of a sudden, this job was this opportunity that God was investing in me. When we look at this passage, he gave 10 talents to the one dude. He gave 5 to the other. He gave 1 to the other. I'm sorry, that's the end of the story. He gave 5, 2, and 1. I'm tired. I need more coffee. I got to sleep in today. Normally I get up at 3:30 on a Sunday, and I slept until 6, but I'm a little off because I'm not in the booth. I'm up here, and so it's all good. Anyways, he gave these talents. He gave specific gifts. God has entrusted us with specific gifts in our lives. Like I said, some of you, maybe that gift was money. Like maybe you're just that guy who's got the talent for making money. Me, I do the Dave Ramsey keep it simple investing because, you know, I'm not going to be the lazy servant and do nothing with my money, but I'm also not going to be the guy who's going to take all of my potential retirement money and go out into the world because I am not that guy. That is not being a good steward of what God has given me. So I put it in a thing and it does stuff and it gets bigger and it just works. And I don't understand that at all. Like, if you want to invest money for a project that will have kingdom impact, I can spend a lot of your cash and make that happen. But if you want that to turn into more money, that's not me. So that's not what God's entrusted me with. That's not what God's given me. What God's given me is opportunities, jobs, to invest in relationships. That job at the music school, I mean, it paid, and I fed my family, and I did that. But it was 300 families that were walking through my doors every week. And some of those relationships are relationships that 8 years later, I still run into around town. And when I'm working on other projects, those people are people I call because God gave me the opportunity to invest for 3 years in the music store. He gave me that specific gift. And it could have just been a job. It could have just been something I did. A couple of my employees that didn't stay employees of mine very long while I was there, That's what they had. They had a job. They talked about going out into the world and serving Jesus and doing things with the kingdom. But in the meantime, 300 families were walking through their door and they were going, can I go home early? Can I go do something else? Like, Lost is on TV like a while ago. But the other thing we'll notice is they're not equal gifts. Not all gifts are created equal. Some people get more than others. And I got to be honest, like me personally, I get jealous of those people. Like, do y'all follow like the church world and podcasts and like these guys who are out there? Francis Chan and, who's the guy? Stephen Furtick. Like, that guy just makes me angry. But he makes me angry for completely the wrong reason. He makes me angry because he's a young 30-something, I don't know, showed up, started a church, and it blew up overnight. And if you're looking from the outside, man, he's got it made. It's so easy. He's got this great staff. He's got, like, you know, I saw him at a conference a few years ago, and he's joking because, you know, he looks cool, which, you know, I can't really pull off, but he pulls off. He looks cool. And he's like, yeah, my wife dresses me. And, like so, you know, not only do you pull it off and you look cool, but you got a great wife who's dressing you to look cool. Like this guy's got it made. But the reality is, and maybe he does, right? Like, maybe he has this great, easy life. But the reality is that God positioned him and gifted him to invest his talents, his opportunities for the kingdom. And he has. And this little nothing church has exploded into this multi-campus impact for Jesus. And the guy drives me nuts. We're never going to be buds. We're never going to hang out, and that's okay. But he's been given these things, and me, like, man, I wish I could do that. My buddy Dave, when I worked in Newport Richey, he was our senior pastor, and he, in his previous life before he became a pastor, had been a chef and then a carpenter. And then a pastor, which seems kind of random, but then I look at my resume and I go, like, no, I got you beat. But he had been a chef and he'd been a carpenter. And so we'd have these men's breakfasts and he would cook these things that were like magical. You know, do y'all have a really good cafe in town, like the place to go where you get like the perfect pancakes and biscuits and gravy and bacon and like it's just like magical breakfast food? Like, we got one that it used to be in Dr. Phillips. Now they open one down the road from my house. It's dangerous because their pancakes are about this big and you got to order three of them and you really shouldn't even finish the first one, but I eat all three and get a side of something else because they're that good. And but Dave had them beat. Like, Dave knew how to cook and he was a carpenter. So I was remodeling the youth building and I wanted this really cool like welcome center in the lobby, and it was going to have this metal finish on the front and a custom Formica top and all this stuff. And Dave's like, oh yeah, $300, we'll go to Home Depot, we'll buy all the stuff, it'll be done. And it was like, I mean, it was like a, you know, $3,000-$4,000 custom cabinet that he put in. And I was kind of like, dude, like, that's just not fair, like, you're so good at this. And he says, well, you know, but when I need my computer fixed, like, I have to call you. And when we bought a projector, I was the one on the lift screwing things in and running cables because that's not what he does. Like, our gifts aren't created equal, right? And like, we could go on this whole side tangent of like the body of Christ and, you know, and a hand and a foot, and that's a whole nother message for another day. But our gifts aren't created equal, and that's a beautiful thing. Because what we're able to accomplish as the body of Christ with all of our random gifts and talents, and some are, you know, 5-talent guys and some are 2-talent guys and whatever that looks like, that's beautiful. Think about it. If every person in your congregation looked and acted and was capable of exactly the same things, you'd either have a lot of people standing out at the front door welcoming people and nobody with like music and lights, or vice versa, you know, killer crowd on stage, like 75-piece band, horrible, by the way, Matt. Don't do that. But then nobody at the door to welcome them. Like, it's great that we're different. And the last thing I want to point out in here, and you probably already know it, but God expects a return on our investment. Like, that's a business term. Like, what's the return on investment? If I'm going to buy this thing, what am I going to get back? But that whole piece at the end there, the one talent guy who went out in the world and did nothing with what the master gave him. You know, I mean, he kind of went through the motions. He protected it. At least I protected it. At least I didn't do anything wrong. And I think a lot of times as Christians and for periods of my own life, like that was my perspective, that was my attitude, was how do I just not do something wrong? How do I make sure I get up in the morning and make it to church? How do I, you know, not swear, not lust, not like whatever it is, like whatever your thing is that grabs you and pulls you under. Like, how do I just not do that? And what the master says, it's not enough to protect it. You've got to do something with it. There needs to be a return on investment. We need to be out engaged in the world and doing something with these gifts and talents that God has given me, given us, not me. He's given me, but you get what I'm saying. I'm going to skip over that next passage. I'm just going to tell the story real quick so we can just, late in the life of Jesus being on earth, he's died, he's resurrected, he reappears to the disciples. And the disciples are out on the lake fishing. They've walked with Jesus for 3 years. They've seen miracles. They've performed miracles. They saw Lazarus raised from the dead. They've seen Jesus raise himself from the dead. And they're hanging out in Galilee, and they go, yeah, let's just go fishing. We're going to go out. If you want to read it later, it's John chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. But we're getting towards the end of our time. And these guys are out on the lake fishing. They've gone back to what they were good at before. They've gone back to their old life. They've gone back to, how are we going to eat? How are we going to feed ourselves? How are we going to take care of our family? And they said, oh, I know, we're good at fishing. Let's go do that. And in the midst of this story, Jesus comes and they have this great catch of fish, and like, and that's great and it's beautiful and it's a story we probably all know. But the reality is they jumped back into the boat, into the normal routine of their lives, and said, well, we have this one talent way back here. Let's go back to that. And I'd never noticed it before because, you know, I'm not that kind of guy, but I was reminded by a preacher one time that in the bottom of this passage, it literally counts the fish. There were 153 large fish. And that'd be fine if it was in the Gospel of Luke, because Luke's this detailed guy who like goes through and does all that, but it's in the Gospel of John. And John tends to be a little more flowery and like tell you a story for a purpose, not because it's the exact story in the exact order for some sort of historical document. It's just this, let's point you to Jesus. But in the Gospel of John, John stopped and counted the fish. And he told us what the number was. Because the fish were important in that moment. Because what am I going to do? How am I going to feed my family? And honestly, I've had those moments. Like, ministry is this crazy weird job that I still can't figure out. I don't quite understand, like, why God has created this thing that he keeps pulling me back into. But I've had those moments where all I want to do is go get a job and feed my family and buy a better house and a nicer car and a new computer because I only have three, and you know that fourth one that just came out is amazing. And like, man, wouldn't that be great? And like Ben said, man, I'm good at a lot of things, and you know, like I could go do that. I'm a tech guy, right? Like I'm the tech director at our church. I run sound, I run lights, I run video. One of the guys I trained, I just had lunch with him. Actually, he's running sound for me right now. He's been away for a while, and I kind of roped him back in. Like, hey, you gotta run sound for me because I'm out of town, and I want to make sure our team succeeds. I trained him. He was a 16-year-old guitarist / drug user, drove me up the wall, and I busted his butt until he decided to take it seriously, and he's become a killer sound guy. He now works freelance. His minimum daily bill rate is $550 a day. He's 23, and like he puts away in savings, because he's smart and he's got great parents, he puts away in savings more money than I make a year. He's putting into savings so that later he'll, like man, I could do your job, and I could be making that, and wouldn't it be great? 153 fish, wouldn't that be awesome? But here's the thing. The why of what we do matters more than the what. You guys looked at this passage at the beginning of this series. It's Colossians 3:23. It's just a couple verses later than 3:17. And 3:23 says, "Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than people." And that's kind of the how. Like, how should you work? You should work willingly and diligently and without laziness. But the why is, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The why is, how is what we do and the talents and the gifts and the investments that God has put into our lives, how does that point to Jesus and point our families to Jesus and point our kids to Jesus, and to point our fellow church members to Jesus, and to point our coworkers and our community? Like, why are we going through the motions of life if it's not to point people to Jesus? And some of us have just one or two talents. We have limited opportunity to do that with, but he's given us something. And so we need to use that something. And some of us, God has blessed immensely. And he expects a return on that investment. What are we going to do to point people to Jesus through our work, through our life? How are we going to keep Jesus at the center of who we are as people? In everything. So I'm 38. I've got three girls. One of them's starting high school this year. One of them's starting middle school this year. I read these stories about guys like Stephen Furtick, and like, man, they planted their first church when they were like 23. And I think, I've missed my window. Like, what am I going to do? Like, I'm not 23 anymore. And I'm not even 33 anymore. 40 is, I don't want to think about it and talk about it. But, you know, like, it's coming. It's coming quick. And then after that is, you know, like, it just keeps coming. But the reality is my uniqueness is not those other guys. It's not my job to measure myself against them and go, well, you know, that guy planted these churches and that guy planted these churches. My job is to go today, what has God put in front of me? What are the things he's invested in me? What are the talents he's given me, the opportunities he's given me? And how am I going to use that to point people to Jesus today? And tomorrow I'm going to get up and it's going to be the same thing. And next week and next month and next year. So I'm getting ready to change job titles, and now my job will be more directly a Jesus-y kind of thing. I'll be the discipleship director, and like that's a very Jesus-y kind of like we're walking alongside people. But for the last 6 years, I've walked with men as we pushed cases into buildings, and they brought their kids with them. My older two daughters, they get up with me, and we do the floors. Like we're in a gym. Our church meets in a gym, and you got these expensive wood floors, so you pull out the floors, and my daughters get up with me at 5 a.m. on Sundays and go with me, and we walk together, and they see Jesus in covering floors and putting out chairs and running sound systems and lights and video. So the details change, but the mission doesn't. It's how do we walk with people and point them to Jesus and use those gifts and talents to make a difference in the kingdom. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the gifts you've given us, the talents, the money, the jobs, the opportunities. God, we thank you for the neighbors, and sometimes maybe not, but we thank you for that opportunity as well, that God, you love them like you love us. And God, we just ask that as we go through our week, as we go through our day, as we go through our years, that God, you just continually give us opportunities to use the talents and the investments that you've made in us. And God, give us the courage to act boldly. God, remove the distractions, that 153 fish, that new iPhone, that new computer, that new car, that whatever it is that, you know, it'd just be fun to focus on. And God, remove those distractions and remind us that every day, whatever we do, whether in word or deed, that we should do it in your name.
I found myself this week constantly saying, I don't know why this surprises me. I don't know why this surprises me. And I don't know if you guys ever felt that way, right? Like, you'll be thinking about